Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for a good church we can come to who preaches truth. God, we just thank you, Lord, for our Sunday school class, Lord, each and every one here today. God, we just, God, just lift each and every one up to you today, and God, just help them. God, just encourage them, and just have them keep on going for you. God, every request, Lord, that's already been mentioned, and all of them, some of the hearts of each and every person here today. God, I pray, won't you just help them and touch them, and just have your will way in each situation. God, help Brother John and the rest of the Sunday school teachers here teaching this morning. Help the pastor at 11 o'clock hour as he preaches, Lord. Just give us what we need of. God, most importantly, if there's one here today that's never been saved, I pray, Lord, today be the day they walk out of here and new preaching. Lord, we just thank you and love you and praise you for all that you do. God, just help us throughout the day in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I am putting these online now, so if you miss any and you want to go over it, it'll be online under the church sermons. So if you want to review or send me any constructive criticism, or if you if I get it back, fine, you know. Hey, I didn't like this. You offended me. Stand in line behind Nora. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll get down as far as we can. And there's a couple things that stood out today in my studies. Verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now here in these two verses, we see a lot of information here. We find out, first of all, let a man so account of us. And I'm going to give it to you, most of it practically today, so that we can apply this to ourselves in our practical everyday living. Let a man so account of us. To account is to give a report or a description of that individual. For example, day by day we go through our life claiming to be born again, claiming to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, claiming to be in the body of Christ, a member of the church. And as people watch us daily go through our lives, they can give a report or an account of us to someone else. Not gossiping, but this guy, he claims to be a Christian, claims to be born again, but when I look at his lifestyle, does it match up with what the Word of God says? And that's what we need to take particular concern about in our daily walk. And each one of us face things daily that we could lose it like that. You know, someone aggravates you, someone just, whatever the situation may be, it may be a family member, a husband, a wife, the kids, most of our kids are grown and gone, but when they were at home, they could set you off awful quick, some of the things that they've done. You and I were never like that, so we don't know what that's like, but our kids were like that. And thank God we don't reap all that we have sown. Some of us tend to reap more than others, but some of us have sown more than others. So people give an account of us. That's why it's very important that our daily walk, our moment-by-moment walk in this life should be a Christ-like walk. People should see Christ in us. So that's the first thing. Let a man so account of us, you and I. If we could read, if they would write out a report on us, how would it read? And of course, you know, you take a non-biased account, someone looking at you, not in a biased or prejudiced way, but what would that account say of us?
It's going to be at the same book too.
Yeah. And it's coming. It's coming when those books, plural, are open. Not just a book of life, but books. And I tend to want to stray away from that thinking. What have I done that I shouldn't have done? What have I thought I shouldn't have thought? Things like that. But it all comes out in the wash someday. Not that it's not forgiven. All our sins, past, present, and future, are gone. We're no longer accountable for them. That was taken care of at the cross. But now, we were saved unto good works. And that's how our lifestyle should be. And then, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ. Now, if you're saved, if you're born again, you are a minister. A minister is one that gives service or care or aid, ministers of Christ. The word minister literally means under-rowers. Now, here's why I tell you and I teach you that you need to know the customs and the ways of whatever book we're reading. And there's plenty of books out there to find out the cultures of the times and the times of the apostles. You go back further, Israel, so that you understand what they're talking about, because some of this is foreign to us. We don't know about that unless we read and study it. A steward. Example, the word literally means under-rowers. Now, when they were talking about this back in that time, you're a steward. An under-rower is described as a slave who rowed the huge Roman, in the Roman galleys, those big ships. You've seen it in the movies. They're chained together, and there's three, four men on an oar, and they're rowing away. That's what it's talking about, a slave. In the galley there. we're not captains of the ship, but only the galley slaves who are under orders. Now, is one slave greater than another? No, we're the same. No one's better than the other. That's why we don't exalt a teacher or a preacher. That's why we don't carry over from Romanism. Now I step on some toes sometimes, but we've got to be careful in what we do and what we say. I never refer to a preacher as reverend. Psalms 110 tells us, "Reverend and holy is my name." Yeah, you want to take God's name? I'm going to call myself God. I might as well say, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the Holy Spirit. So we need to be biblical. Some may think that, well, it's just an honor or a reverence for their position. Not when it's stealing God's name. Right. Have to be careful there. So when we get born again, we become a willing slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to go into Greek. Danny knows that. Doulos, which is a willing slave. But that's what it means. But again, I want to emphasize, know the times and the cultures of the books that you're reading so you get an understanding, because we tend to put 21st century thinking into these verses, and we can end up in trouble, because that's not how it is. So in scripture and theology, a minister of Christ is one who, whose duty it is, responsibility it is, to dispense Bible truths and teach its doctrines, and when necessary, to administer its ordinances. Now, the church, the New Testament church, has two ordinances. The Lord's Supper and baptism. Those ordinances are an act of obedience, not part of something you have to do. You can go, you can be saved and not be baptized, and you're still going to be with the Lord when we leave this this world. You can be born again and never receive what we call communion or celebrate the Lord's Supper, and you never take part in that. You're still going to be with the Lord. That, for those of you that don't know, in the Roman Church, when you take part of that bread, they say it is the body of Christ. And that's part of your salvation. Now, my salvation is not going to end up in the sewer system. Okay? So that's where that Roman doctrine is way off, and it's wrong. And we, as the term goes, we call a spade a spade. Okay? If it's wrong, it's wrong. So we need to be aware of these things. Baptism is an act of obedience. And what that does is that shows when you say you want to be baptized, you've been born again, you want to be baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in likeness of his death, and usually I hold them under when I baptize for that long. buried in likeness of his death, raised again unto the glory of new life. And that's all it represents. It represents that person dying to sin, being raised again. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So he's raised again into new life. And that's where the verse comes in. You are created unto good works. So from that point on, being born again, our life should change. And it does in some cases. It changes dramatically and immediately in some cases, and in other cases it takes a while.
John, I like the idea of, not the idea of the truth of the word in Homer. It says Romans 6 verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
Yeah.
What that means to me is it also represents Christ being in the tomb. You know what I'm saying?
Being
in the grave.
Okay.
But he came out.
He came out, right. Right. That's the important thing. If he did not rise from the dead, it'd all be in vain. So Paul explained what a steward was. A steward is and here we have the responsibility. A steward is a servant who manages everything for his master. Everything. Now, but who himself owns nothing. Okay? Joseph is an example. Genesis 39. He was Potiphar's chief steward in his household. He had everything except what the king had, okay? And sometimes that can lead to problems. But you do right. Joseph is a prime example of doing right. And still, why do things happen to save people? Look at Joseph. You know, he did right. What happened? He ended up in prison. You do right, and if wrong becomes a result, then you go along with that. You suffer through it, whatever it is. And trust God. Depend on Him. Don't waver. Don't. And I really don't like when I have to teach like this, because I know coming my way, I'm going to have to experience more of what I teach. And so when it happens, you stay faithful, true to the Word of God. And it's a lot easier saying it than doing it. The church, Galatians 6:10, is called the household of faith. Turn over there, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and let's see, where do we begin? Look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing, you're going to get weary. The Bible tells you that. So you just keep on. We're not to become faint, not to become weary, but to continue doing good. For in due season, the time is coming, we shall reap if we faint not. And as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, did you read that? We're to do good, especially unto our brethren, the believers. And here's where some of these other churches get off. They get way offline. They want to do everything for the poor. You feed them, give them food, give them groceries. And in doing all that, they're still not giving them the gospel. I pass a ministry, and it's free groceries every Monday night between 6 and 7:30 or something. Free groceries. How about gospel? How about getting out there with gospel signs? How about getting out there feeding them spiritual food rather than physical? Because physical, they're going to need to come back. You got a grip on them because you're providing for them, but you're not giving them spiritual food where they can grow and get saved, and if they are saved, to learn the Word of God. So especially the household of faith. If a brother or sister needs help and it's a genuine need, our responsibility is to help that person. So, you know, just the Word of God. Paul called the spiritual wealth the mysteries of God. That's the next thing we're going to deal with, the mysteries of God. He mentioned something of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's go back there. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's see what he says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I covered this not in too much depth. The mystery of the church. The Old Testament knew nothing about the church. And as they looked forward, all they seen was the future, which was the tribulation, the millennial, and the eternity. They knew nothing about the church, but thank God for you and I that we were grafted in, that Israel was disobedient and rejected the Lord. Otherwise, there would be no church time period. So the mysteries. The responsibility of the servant is to be faithful to his master. A servant may not please the members of his household. You get saved not everybody's happy with you and your family. They reject you. Not even please some of the other servants. You got people that may be other believers that may be jealous of you, that may not care for you because you're sold out for the Lord. But if he pleases his own master, our goal is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. If I can please the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm a good servant. You're a good servant if you can please the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what other people say, think, or do. It's what, are you pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ? And you can see that in Romans 14:4. Who art thou that judgest another's manservant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yet he shall be holded up, for God is able to make him stand. So we do right, we live right, we be right, and they sit in judgment of us. So what? That's fine. My task is to please the Lord Jesus Christ, not man. So you and I, along with all the believers, the question is, are we faithful to the work that God has assigned us to do? And what is that? We hear the term, God called me, God called me. What did God call you to do? Did he ring you on the telephone? Did he send you an email? He gave us his word. He called us to be Christ-like. That's what our calling is. And that's what we're to do. If you have an opportunity to teach and preach, then fine, you go ahead and do that. God's opened that door for you, and you haven't come to that door, and you've kicked it and pushed it and barged it out of the way. You let God open the doors for you. And an example of that, and this is, you know, not to lift myself, but it's an example, it's a real life example. I got a card yesterday in the mail, a Father's Day card. And it was from my nephew in Florida. And he wrote in there, thank you for always being there to answer my questions and helping me spiritually. And he's wandered, he's you know, gotten out of the Lord's will, and now he's back serving the Lord. And all those times over the years since he was a little kid, I would deal with him. And I would get come down upon because his sisters would, what are you making him question his salvation for? And all I would say is, how can you do the things that you're doing if you claim to be a Christian? Do they fall in line with Scripture? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't question his salvation. I just put thought-provoking things into his mind. And so when you do those things, you know, you're going to get come down on. But you be faithful, you be right, have the right attitude, the right heart attitude, and God will bless it. And so that's what happens in one's life. You be faithful to what God has opened the doors for us to do. Now, Jesus had the same test in mind when he told the parable in Luke 12, and we'll not go there because it'd take too long, about the servant and the master. But if a servant of God is faithful in his personal life, his home life, and in the ministry of the word, then he is a good servant, and he will be adequately rewarded. Now, there's a contrast between faithful servants and unfaithful. First of all, faithless servant. He is filled with pride. A proud person can never be a faithful servant. Hey, look what I did. You know, I'm teaching this class. I'm preaching. I'm doing this. That's pride. That's going down the tubes.
John.
Yes.
The church of the street or road here, and I could understand why they would do it, but they let folks know they had done it. There was a lot of, this guy liked to help build bridges.
Yeah.
Whenever he'd go off, he'd come back and get all kinds of pictures showing what they had done.
Yeah.
And the first time we saw that, I said, there's something not quite right about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a matter of pride. Look what I did. Now, if it's presented, here's the opportunity that God presented to me, and here's what we were able to do through the help of the Lord, and God gets a glory for everything there. There's a difference in how you present things, and that's what it comes down to, pride. And a faithless servant is presumptuous. He presumes. He presumes to know. He presumes that, he's the one. A faithless servant is one who is wise in his own eyes. Hey, I'm pretty smart. I did this. Yeah, you wouldn't do anything if God didn't give you the brain power to do it, this person is well thought of by the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with being well thought of as long as you're not compromising the word and they think of you well. But if you compromise the word to be well liked, then there's a problem there. And then the faithful servant. This is each one of us. This person possesses a clear conscience. We don't have to go around, geez, I did this, I hope they don't find out, I hope nobody knows that I'm doing this. So we possess a clear conscience. A person does not judge others. Now we are to judge. You judge every day. You come up to a stop sign, you make a judgment. I'm going to stop or I'm not going to stop. Hey, this looks like fun, I'm not going to stop. All right, we judge every day. Now, you carry this, and I've heard it before. I want a new car. Okay. I'm going to go buy a new car. Okay. I'm going to pray about, does God want me to have a new car? Now, look at here. Look at your finances. Can you afford a new car? If you buy that new car, is it going to hurt you providing for your family? Is it going to put you in a bind where you can't give to the Lord? Maybe you don't need a new car. Maybe you want a new car. Maybe you need another car. That one's breaking down. Then you go to the one that you can afford. Well, it won't be a new one. Okay, you don't think God can lead you and bring about circumstances where you can get a car, an older car that's going to last longer than you? It's a matter of trusting God. And then I used to hear these, and these people were something else. I don't know if God wants me to have a red car or a blue car. What do you think? I got to pray about. What do you got to pray about? What do you like? Do you pray about, should I buy a red pen or a blue pen? What do you need it for? We've got to use our brain that God's given us. And God, is this the woman you want me to marry? You're not going to know until you... Is that woman... No, not for you girls. For you girls, it's a man. Okay. Is he or she living... First of all, are they saved? Do they have a strong, solid testimony? Are they living for the Lord? Or are they playing you? And there's where wisdom from God comes in and guidance of the Holy Spirit. So there are things that you pray about, and there's other things that don't waste your time, because they're not even going to get high as this ceiling. we don't sit in judgment of others, but we do judge things every day. As far as judging, well, Danny's not saved. He has gray hair. He can't be saved if he has gray hair. Uh-oh. I can't be saved if I have no hair. You know, dumb things like that. And that's the extreme. But we don't judge people. We can judge the acts, not the people. So we got to be careful of that. And a faithful servant becomes a spectacle. People watch you. They look at you. This person is written off as a fool. How many of your relatives, friends have written you off? You know, he's a Bible thumper. He's everything. He goes to church 3 times a week, goes to special meetings. And I had to eat those words because I said that about people. You go to church 3 times a week? What are you, stupid? And, you know, I go to church 3 times a week and even more now when, things. So, when you're lost, you say stupid things and then you don't forget them either. That person is laughed at by the world and that happens. But I want to get into the mysteries. We've only got a few minutes left. And I want to recommend, there's a Sunday school conference coming up. And if it goes as scheduled, the mysteries will be taught by Joe Allen. I'm going to be teaching the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, the difference between them and the importance of them. And if at all possible, I'd recommend that you sit in there if it goes as scheduled. But there are mysteries in Scripture which you need to know about, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the difference between them. All Israel shall be saved. One moment, Israel's going to be saved. God manifests in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. The calling out or the rapture of the church, another mystery. Christ in the church, the body of Christ, that's a mystery. Christ in you, reciprocal indwelling. I in Christ, Christ in me. How is that? That's a mystery. The mystery of iniquity and the mystery of Babylon. Preacher covered some of that. So it's going to be interesting, and some of you may have never heard of some of those mysteries, but they're in Scripture and we need to know about them. Moreover, it's required in students that a man be found faithful is the other thing, demanded, needed, necessary, reliable, trusted, or believe, true to one's word or professed belief. That's what a real steward is. And we'll have to finish up here, and we'll leave it there. And we didn't get to cover the judgment in depth, but you know enough, I'm sure, that we don't judge ourselves. God judges us, and we shall stand before God. The most important judgment is God's judgment. Certainly God judges us today through His Word, Hebrews 4:12, and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He uses that ministry to help us face and confess sin in our lives. But the main reference in these verses is the final evaluation when each Christian stands at the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14, and 2 Corinthians 5, then the true facts will be revealed and the faithful stewards rewarded. So we look towards the judgment seat of Christ. We look to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ by applying the Word of God to our lives. And that should give us a tremendous head start and jump start in this life for living for the Lord. Let's pray. Danny, you mind praying for us?
Father, we just pray for the truth and for the love that's brought us here together today, your love, Father, that we'll try to reflect back to you. And just thank you for the opportunity to come into your house to feast on your table, Father, but also to come out and share what we've learned with the world that is in such a dire need of it, Father. We're in dire need of it ourselves. So, Father, we pray that our education and our learning go on through the worship service. Father, be with us. We go our separate ways today and bring us back again today. Thank you for this wonderful message that you brought about being a steward, Father, not only with our time and our money, but with our lives. Father, help us to be the good servant, the good steward. And all things, Father, let us exalt Jesus Christ, lift him up, for he is indeed worthy.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Appreciate it.